The following podcast is an Enticing Media production.
She is a business owner, best-selling author, and on a mission to find out what the Nell is going on here. Here's your host, Nell Tice.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another brand new episode of the What the Nell podcast with yours truly, Nell Tice. My guest today, I am so excited for. Her reputation precedes her. She is an amazing person and people speak so highly of her. And I thought, I've got to somehow meet this person at some point. And fortunately, a mutual friend of ours by the name of Jeremy Schreifels did just that and connected us. And I'm so glad he did, because we're going to learn a lot about her today. Her name is Angela Lalonde, and she is the author of the The Younger Self Letters, she's the author of, which was a USA Today bestselling book. But today we're going to be talking about The Lighthouse Method, which is also a bestselling book, where she shares her journey of coming out of the darkness into the light. She's also a real estate attorney and owner of Lalonde Title, which is a real estate closing company offering home buyers, realtors, lenders, and builders title, escrow, and closing services for residential and commercial properties. Her main mission is to make the closing process as smooth for everyone involved in a real estate transaction, and desires to empower others around her to shine their brightest. Angela, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being on with me today.
Thank you, Nell. I am so excited to be here with you today.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about doing video podcasts. Unfortunately, I'm not recording the video and uploading this anywhere. But if you could just see the beautiful smile that Angela has on her face, and you know, this is the inspiration to putting video podcasts out there. But, you know, we're going to talk all about your book today, but, you know, take us on a little bit of a backstory, a journey to how you got to be here or writing the book, The Lighthouse Method.
Yes. Thank you, Nell. I'm so excited to be in this season. After having published the book, it's one thing to have a desire in your heart to say, you know, a lot of people have a dream and burning inside them to write a book. And it's another thing to actually follow through. So it's really great to be in this next phase, this next part of it, after the book has come out. But going back into the creation of the book itself, I had a dark season about 11, 12 years ago, almost 12 now. Now that I've come out, there's such a passion inside of me to help others who I know are going through the same, you know, similar situation as me. We all have different stories, but everyone has dark times. And so when I was thinking about this book, I thought about, okay, what helped me? How did I rise out of the dark? And so it helped me kind of start putting these things together. And I'll also tell you, even from the beginning, I did not have a title to the book. It was going to be, actually, the book started as a letter that stayed on my laptop for more than a year. And I had written it specifically, initially it was called A Letter for the One. It was the one who was lost like I was, and that kind of thing. And so it was an outpouring of my heart, and to help them. And so it kind of stayed there. And I knew that there was more to flesh out. There was something with that letter that would develop. And so it wasn't until I was actually writing notes for the chapter that I authored in the Younger Self Letters, when the image of a lighthouse just dropped into my spirit. And so immediately I started researching lighthouses. I knew it was for this book. And I started seeing diagrams, the steps kind of start making themselves known in a way. And so it kind of just developed from there. That's kind of how the journey started.
That's amazing. And, you know, as I was reading, and I kind of, you know, The Lighthouse Method and then the cover of the book kind of takes you a little inside to the book. And I kind of had the idea of where it was going when I first opened it to read it. But I have to say that I resonated with the lighthouse theme that's going on here. And while I resonated from a different viewpoint. I grew up in Maryland, right? So boating and sailing and maritime history has always been a part of my life. And I have never found it easy to think that there was a possibility that someone could live in a landlocked state like Kansas or Nebraska or something like that. And now here in Pennsylvania, technically I do, but we have easy access to coastal areas where lighthouses reside. And I always, you know, Cape May, New Jersey was one place that I really enjoy going. And I love going to that lighthouse. And I always looked at a lighthouse from the external viewpoint of, okay, this is the guiding light to lead you somewhere safe. But you look at lighthouses from an internal perspective and how we are all lighthouses. So I think that's really beautiful. But there are certain aspects of that internal working of the lighthouse that you address in the book. Yes. And I noticed throughout the method, and I don't want to give too much of the method away because I think that people really need to read this. It's a beautiful book. But there were three main things that I picked up on. One was your affinity to including a few verses of the Bible in the book itself. And, you know, I really would love for listeners to know, how has God helped you in this process through the method of the Lighthouse Method?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, for me, there was a, you know, I'm a Christian, and I had a supernatural encounter with the Lord probably about 5 years ago. And, you know, I grew up labeling myself a Christian, but it wasn't until really 5 years ago that I was even able to see differently, the way that even my perspective of how God sees me had shifted. And so he helped me see myself differently. It was really like a supernatural type of thing that happens. And even in the creation of the book, it really was a partnership. I would sit and I call it that because that's what it was. And being aware of, you know, asking him questions of, how do we tell this story right? And because it is such an integral part of my own healing journey, the Lord wants to rescue other people. And I know that some of your listeners may or may not, they have different religious or spiritual views. I just know what happened with me. I know that, you know, the Lord played such an integral role in that. And so, of course, the Lighthouse Method is laced with scripture. And I believe it's even fitting. There's one of the steps in there with become a prism is us becoming transparent and purified, right? And so when we are cleansed and all our dirt is washed away, you know, we can see and be seen differently. And in that purification process, you know, it's a whole kind of parallels biblical scripture about being cleansed. And so it's just he has played a huge role in really in what's happening with me right now. So,
yeah, that's beautiful. And no, you're absolutely right. I mean, everybody has different religious or spiritual beliefs, but I think that part of the beauty of the book and how you've written it, you are able to cross out any of the words that don't pertain to your belief system and pop those words that you do believe into them, and it can still speak to you the same way that God has spoken to you.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's not, you know, anything further than that. And it's being able to read these types of books, I think that especially with how you present it, allows us, the reader, to interpret those experiences in our own imaginations. So that certainly comes across. I think it's really well thought out in the book. Another big point that I noticed was you had mentioned finding the right support. And this has always been a really big deal for me because I believe that in everyone's journey, support is absolutely monumental and it may be one of the most important parts of the journey. And in particular, on page 59, you ask a few questions. Your support: do they believe in you? Do they teach you? Do they challenge you? Do they validate you? And do they love you? Through your own journey, have you found, how difficult did you find it to find people that met all of those questions with a yes?
Yeah, it was for me. I've always been a person who had a close-knit group of friends. I have never been the person who has 30 best friends and let's all go to the beach together. And
quantity over quality.
These girl trips, and I've never had that. I have an identical twin sister who's been my best friend my entire life. She and I have been very close. So I've had, and outside of that, particularly in the last decade, after in my healing journey, I've been able to, it's, you know, there have been divine connections in my life, and I believe I've gained wisdom in selecting, you know, in discerning the type of people that are around me, and knowing that this person is a good connection type of thing. Mm-hmm. You want to have somebody who is going to lift you up and not bring you down, kind of thing. And so I believe that there's been a process of discernment. And so I've been able to prune my relationships and let the ones that are dead just kind of drop off.
Good. That's awesome. And yeah, I think that I almost believe that you could write a spinoff based on just these qualities, because I think that a lot of people out there would not be able to find, because in the paragraph before that, you mentioned, can you name five people that want to support you, meaning fulfilling all of those qualities? And I would really truly believe that the majority of people may not be able to name five people. And that's a huge process. And those that are around you, supporting your vision and your dream, I just don't know that a lot of people are there yet with being able to find that circle. And that's a constant work in progress, which I appreciate you mentioning in the book for sure.
Oh, thank you. it can be a difficult thing if you're not being intentional. If you're wanting to find, you know, those groups, they can be found. I'll say it with my editor, Jeremy Schreifels was my editor and book coach was Hillary Jastrom. I found Jeremy Schreifels through her and Michelle Culp, my marketing assistant / publisher. I call her my publisher. And through these groups, I have found, you know, these like-minded people who are really going for it and really wanting to move forward in their lives and all these things. And so it's really inspirational. It kind of lights a fire within you, right? Seeing these people and what they're doing, it makes you go, okay, I would love, you're the kind of people, you're my people, right?
And yes.
In those things, in that regard, in those kind of circles, you could probably find more than five.
I agree with you with that. And I think that when you find one person that is kind of like the fire, that one person lights that fire, and then all of a sudden they become in abundance.
Yes.
And I just recently have connected with Hillary, and, you know, I've seen it. This is the beauty of social media. We see everybody on Facebook and everywhere, but we don't actually know them until someone connects us with them. And so I've seen her everywhere, but then finally being able to connect with her. And one of the first conversations that we ever had was a recording for her radio show, Get the Book Out. And I can't even tell you, we had the most fun recording. And it was the first time we had ever met. I mean, it was like two giddy little schoolgirls, you know, just having fun and playing music and chatting.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, when you start meeting people like that, and I met her through Jeremy, as I had met you. And when you start meeting people like all of you, now all of a sudden there's a fulfillment.
Yes.
There that you weren't experiencing before.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So that's very cool. And The other point that I wanted to address in the book was you mentioned something called the purification steps.
Yeah.
And you mentioned there are five purification steps, one being humility, two being confession, three, repentance, four being forgiveness, and five being replacement. Now, you mentioned the method, the whole method a couple of times, but specifically, you mentioned the purification steps multiple times in the book.
Yeah.
And I am just wondering if there is reasoning behind that. Do you believe that this might be one of the most important steps? Can you explain why you kind of go into detail about those?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. I love that you asked this question. This is part of step two, which is become a prism. So become a prism, really all the other steps developed around this one step. And so it really was a catalyst for how everything else was developed. The prism specifically, to become a prism, one must be purified, transparent and purified, where the impurities inside are extracted, allowing you to become a conduit for light. So it's amazing, this whole prism concept. And I'll give you a little science history, science tip with kind of in this book, it's about lighthouses, but the person who revolutionized lighthouse technology in the early 19th century was also a big part of this book. And his name is Augustin Jean Fresnel. So he created what's known as the Fresnel lens. It basically is a bunch of prisms or triangular pieces of glass inside the lighthouse. It replaced the lighthouse reflectors. It allowed the light to be able to penetrate the night to over 20 miles out to sea. And so this whole thing of being able to, if we ourselves also become like prisms, if we become transparent and purified, then we too can, our light can pierce the night. And so in my case, in this book, I'm very vulnerable and raw about my situation. I made choices in my life that where I needed to be purified from. And so in order to become this transparent being, not having a lens that is muddied or clouded by our outside circumstances or even our choices. And so the purification basically wipes us clean, whether that's these things that we have done or even just one of the definitions I even read on one of the definitions of confession is relaying the state of our conscience. So sometimes we can have things happen to us and we just need to get the words out of our mouth, right? So that's part of it. Don't stuff it in. Let's talk about it and confess one to another. So,
yeah, that's huge. And I'm really glad, you know, if you think about the lighthouse and all the inner workings, which you go into great detail about in the book, which I really appreciate because even just from a pure educational standpoint, this is all information that I never would have known and appreciate learning because it's very cool and very indicative of how we can operate as human beings. You talk about also borrowing light from other people. And, you know, I actually, if there's this, I would never say the word negative because I have nothing negative to say, but I wanted more from that section of the book in explaining what it means to borrow light from someone. Yeah. Can you expand on what that means and how we might be able to go about doing that?
Yes. Yes. That's a great question. This is one of the steps of step one in preparing to rise up. So there are several parts of that step. And this one part is really the last part. And when Hillary and I were crafting this part, it's really a last resort because the part is, and I opened the book with, there's a quote out there. I believe it was Hemingway. I have to, a quote out there. He's been credited with saying this quote about brokenness brings an opportunity for light to shine in or something. But I kind of propose the opposite, where our brokenness allows our light to shine through the cracks. So we actually have light inside of us. Instead of the idea of allowing light to come in when we're broken, we actually have light that is able to come out even through the trauma that's been caused in our lives. Sometimes when we are, let's just say a person is too scared to get out of the dark, they don't know where to start. They're, you know, borrowing another's light is the idea of someone else who has, let's just say, has been healed, someone who's getting close to them, allowing their light almost to emanate off of them to help you make your way. So it's really borrowing another's light. You're not actually grabbing their light and keeping it for yourself, but being able to harness something from someone who's near you in proximity mm-hmm. can kind of help you get out. But it's just like, you're not going to, if you don't start taking the actions that are there in the book, if you don't start taking actions on your own, you won't by osmosis be able to create right. light from the other person type of thing.
I love that. Yes. Thank you for expanding on that, because, you know, I'm just, it makes me also feel better. And this is the thing about your book. I mean, it causes you to think about other areas of your life that, you know, I'll be clear that you don't need to be in a dark place to read this book. It's not required of you. I think that this book can be enjoyed and acknowledged by anyone that has been in a dark time and has come out to the light, or it can prepare you for the future. If you yeah. happen to fall on dark times and you have this book as a guide and a reference to go to when you need to get back to that place of light. But there's always a saying, when, if I know of someone that's going through a tough time, or if they've experienced a death or something like that, I always resorted to the phrase, sending you lots of love and light. I think one of the most common phrases is, sending lots of prayers, which are, there's nothing wrong with, but I've recently seen some conversation about, well, are you actually praying for that person? When you say yeah. sending prayers, are yeah. you actually?
Yeah.
And, yeah. you know, or are we just saying that?
Yeah.
But when I say sending love and light, I am actually taking some of that light that I know I have in me and yeah. trying to surround you with it to help yeah. you get to a place of peace and comfort.
Yeah.
And I know that some people would always think that's weird. Like, what does she mean? What the hell? Is she sending light? What is she going to send them, a lamp? What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for making me feel vindicated and using that phrase.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. And there's a line in the book where I talk about this divine radiance, you know, that our light is a piece of heaven inside of us. It's mm-hmm. really, you know, the glory of God. It's a divine radiance that emanates inside each person. So this divine radiance has the ability to illuminate hidden corners of the human heart and heal dark places. Isn't that beautiful?
It's gorgeous. Mm. It's gorgeous. Mm. I could just literally sit here and listen to that all day. It's so therapeutic. I love it.
Let's set up a book reading.
Let's do that. Oh my gosh, I would love that. My husband was making fun of me last night, because I was probably halfway through the book as of last night. And I said, yeah, I'm going to finish this by tomorrow to interview Angela on my podcast. And he was like, you're going to read all of that in a night and a morning? And I was like, yeah, that sounds like fantastic time to me. I mean, so I think a book reading would be an awesome thing to do. You know, I know that you go into your reasonings for needing this purification and this method in your life. And I don't necessarily want to go totally into that, because I completely believe in moving forward and coming off of those. And if you want to know more about, you know, why the start of this process came to be, then you can read the book, which I would highly recommend doing. But, you know, towards the end of the book, you talk about your process in how you were finally able to sit for the Louisiana bar exam and everything that sort of had to happen to make that happen. So that verdict, for lack of a better term, I'll call it, where you took the exam and they rejected your license. How do you think that particular situation impacted where you are now? Do you think that, and it's easy to say, you know, the whole experience obviously got you to where you are, but why do you think that experience occurred? I think is almost the question that I want to ask. Yeah. Why do you think that that experience actually occurred?
Yes. Are you referring to, so when I took the bar exam, passed, and then they wrote me a letter to say we will not be able to.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so yeah. Reading that, I'm thinking, well, this has got to be, I don't know if illegal is the right word.
Yeah.
But saying that, so you took the exam twice and the second time you had passed, and then they wrote you the letter saying, I'm sorry, we're rejecting your license.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me was kind of like the mind blowing moment yeah. of the whole story.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, okay, whether it was some sort of divine intervention or something, there was a reason
yeah,
that
yeah.
situation happened. What do you think that reasoning might have been?
No, I love this question. And you know what? It actually popped into my head this very thing earlier in the week. And so I'm not surprised you're asking it, because I guess I was being prepared for it. But when I looking back, it felt so unfair that, you know, I would pay all this money to sit for the bar exam twice. And then once that was done, you think you're in, because
you passed the test.
Because I passed the test. So looking back, part of when we were crafting that petition, there apparently, and I'll say, after I had dealt with immense rejection from the Mississippi bar, okay, and that was, your listeners haven't read the book, but they'll be able to, there was an honor code violation in law school, and I was rejected from taking the Mississippi bar exam. I ran away from everything. I ran away from everything in my life, every person in my life. I just shut down completely, and even responsibilities with mail that came in. For instance, it turns out that one, there was the bill for the transcript hearing, the hearing that took place where 3 days after graduation, the Mississippi Committee on Bar Admissions grilled me. I felt like a criminal. It was a really hard time, but there was a bill that apparently I did not pay. I did not get the mail. I was living in Colorado at the time. I never saw it. Apparently, because that was unpaid, that was one of the reasons they said you can't do this. So as part of the petition for submission to the Louisiana Supreme Court, paid the bill, showed them proof that I paid the bill, and wrote up this, you know, beautiful petition we crafted with, I had hired another attorney in the area who was recommended to assist with these kinds of matters with attorneys to get into the, to be approved. On the first go around, they accepted me. So it was such a huge victorious moment. But I do believe that that unpaid bill, me running away and not owning, nothing mattered. I didn't even think about my mail, you know?
I mean, things, you know, life gets messy. And especially when you're in the midst of dealing with personal issues, all of the stuff that life has to throw at you, and then moving. I honestly believe that moving and changing locations is one of the most stressful things that we can go through as humans, because there's so much more moving than just our stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, having an unpaid bill like that in the mail, and it all seems so trivial in a way at the time. And so thank you for answering that. I was really thinking that I'm like, what? Why? Why is this happening? But and, you know, the whole book, I think, is absolutely beautiful. And I would recommend it to anyone at any phase or season of their life. And as we come to a close on this, now, you know, it is tradition here on the What the Nell podcast to ask the guest if they have a What the Nell story to share. And if I didn't know and hadn't read the book or didn't receive the answer, I probably should have saved that question for this one. What the Nell? They didn't accept your, they rejected your license. But the What the Nell story, it can be about the topic at hand. It can be about anything that happened. It can be about something crazy that happened to you the other day that you experienced. Do you have a What the Nell story to share with us?
I do, Nell. I do. So as I was thinking about what the Nell I should share with you, I was reminded of this is recently. We were having so every week we have a family night, dinner with my parents, mom and dad, my twin sister, her husband, their kids, my husband, our kids. My sister and I live in the same neighborhood, so we either have dinner at her house or our house. Well, this particular night we were eating dinner at their house, and after we finished, we moved over to the living room. We were just sitting together, and my brother-in-law showed me this little short clip of this sheep screaming. Have you heard this?
No, I haven't.
And it made me go, "What the Nell?"
How does a sheep scream?
Well,
Bah!
can I show you this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now your listeners will then now. So you're looking. He said, "Hey, just look at this. You see this sheep? Because your listeners can't see this, but you're just looking at a sheep in a gate, in a fenced in, and all of a sudden he's looking around and he screams like a woman,
Oh
and
no.
sounds like a human being,
Oh my
and
gosh.
it made me laugh so much. So let me see if I can get this."
Listeners, you have imaginations. Pull this into your imagination. I am already, and I'm finding it hysterical. He's just looking around and he just opens his mouth like, bah!
Oh my gosh. If you Google the screaming sheep, it'll make you laugh so hard you'll start sweating.
That. Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of those old fainting goat videos. Do you remember those?
No.
Where the goats would just kind of be, walking along, and all of a sudden they get really stiff and they just drop to the side.
No,
It
I'll have
just,
to Google that.
you do. They just, and they don't even like their legs, even when they drop to the side, their legs are still stiff and they're like up in the air. So it's just, it kind of, I love it. I
Wasn't that
appreciate
funny?
that.
What the
Oh my
Nell?
gosh.
That made me
What
go,
the
what the
Nell?
Nell?
I think that the sheep was actually screaming. What
It's probably some kids trying to, who knows?
Yeah, I'll have to see if
Get
I
their
can
hands
find a
up.
sound bite or something to plug in there while I'm editing this
Good.
podcast.
I think that would be great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. Oh, that's
You're
great.
welcome.
What a great laugh on a Friday. I love
Yes.
this.
Yes, laughing is so good for the soul.
Oh, is it ever? Is it ever? Oh, I love it. And I love it almost as much as I love talking to you. Angela, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I so appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Noel. I loved it. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, of course. And before we go, let people know, how can they connect with you? Where can they find you?
Yes. So social media is the easiest way, Facebook and Instagram mostly. Angela Lalonde. I believe on Instagram I'm AC Lalonde, and that's LALANDE. I do have a website being built right now, so soon they'll be able to find me on angelalalonde.com. For now, you can find me at www.lalondetitle.com.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing all of that information. And thank you to all of you listeners. I will have all of that information linked in the description to this episode, as well as a link to Angela's book, The Lighthouse Method: How to Shine Again After You've Lost Your Light. So thank you so much for listening today. And as always, I will catch you on the next one.